It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are starting a new chapter, Book of Luke, chapter 9.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
Here Jesus Christ giving the authority to his 12 disciples. Disciples' story is given in Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 6, and Luke chapter 10 also. But here he is sending these 12 disciples to preach the kingdom of God, and he says he has given them authority and power over devils, cure the disease, and heal the sick. Now, many people are thinking this was given 2,000 years ago, and now Jesus is gone, his disciples are gone, and now this authority and this power is not for us. But the Word of God is saying, this power is available. Okay, let's read verse 3 and then I'll come back.
And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Go ahead. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them.
Go to the children of Israel and don't go anywhere and preach the gospel to those people. And in here he says, verse 4, whatever the house you enter into, there you abide. Sound like you go to anybody's house and stay there by force, but it's not like that. You read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, he says, when you are in that town, you search for the house who can invite you and want to hear the gospel, go to their house and stay. And so here the Word of God is saying, disciples were told, just go to the children of Israel. And some people might be thinking, isn't that prejudice? That Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, don't go any other heathen countries or don't go to heathens, go to the only children of Israel. But the Word of God is saying this was given to them because Jesus Christ came first to his own. St. John chapter 1 verse 11, he says, he came to his own and his own received him not. And so the timing was such that he wanted to go and preach the gospel to his own people first. And then the gospel will be preached around the world. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 10 and read verse 38 to 39.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree.
This is a Peter saying, Jesus Christ went to all the Israeli town and healing them and delivering them and making them well and destroying the powers of the devil. So he says he went first to the children of Israel, but what did they do? They did not listen to him. But they crucified him. And so they thought, when we kill Jesus, his ministry will be finished. And now here, Peter is saying, he came, he preached the gospel, they even went to the Israeli people, and now you killed the Jesus Christ. And so he said, so what happened? Let's read the verse 42 in the same chapter. The ministry of Jesus Christ did not finish there. Yeah, extend verse 42 to 48.
And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead.
Now, he's saying, now God ordained us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you read that chapter, the same chapter, Jesus Christ sent Peter to Cornelius' house. And the Cornelius people, they were Gentiles. And he went there and preached the gospel. Cornelius' family and the people were sitting there, got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and were baptized. So the point I'm making, in the beginning, it sounds like Jesus Christ telling his disciples, go to the only Israeli people and don't go to any other town. And it sounded like Jesus Christ is prejudiced and he doesn't want to go to any other people and preach the gospel. Even the one lady came, she was not Jewish, and her daughter was sick, and she told Jesus, could you please cast out the devil from my daughter? And Jesus says, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And so that sounded also bad, that Jesus Christ is thinking those people, the heathens, are dogs. If that lady humbled herself and did not get panicked, did not say anything bad to Jesus Christ, and her daughter was healed. The timing was such that Jesus Christ came first as a prophet to the children of Israel. Why? Because that was prophesied. Moses said in book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you read verse 15 to 18, he says, God will send a prophet just like me. And that's the prophet Jesus Christ came and preached the word of God to these Israeli people or Jewish people. So Jesus Christ, after he came out of the grave and before he went to heaven, Matthew chapter 28, if you read verses 19 and 20, he told his disciples, now you go and preach the gospel, not one place, around the world. And then we'll read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Go ahead.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Don't take any stick, don't take any money, don't take extra clothes, and go. What Jesus Christ was saying at that particular time, he was teaching them to depend on God. And now people can take the same experience and they say, you know what? Now you're wearing three-piece suit, you are having car, you having money in a bank balance and traveling in by plane. Don't you think you're doing against the word of God? No. That particular time, this was the command was given. But after that, when Peter and Paul started ministry, Paul started going by boat because that time there was no plane. And they travel the whatever the boat and ship they had. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ is not limiting them to just to go to children of Israel, but go to the uttermost part of the world. Teach them what I taught you and baptize them and make them disciples. And that's what the commandment was. And not only that, he said, you cannot do it now. You have to wait. You have to tarry in Jerusalem. You have to fill with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses, starting again from Jerusalem. Go to the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Now here also the commandment was given, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. But the word of God says, once you are born again, you can go and start witnessing. Last week, if you remember, we learned when that demon-possessed man got healed, and he said, Jesus, I want to follow you. What Jesus said, go back to your hometown and witness to those people what God has done. So here also he's saying, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, first mission is what? Jerusalem. Then somebody says, once we get saved, we have to go to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. No, your Jerusalem is your hometown. Then you go to uttermost part of the world. And so here the commandment was given, you have to go uttermost part of the world and preach the gospel, but you wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Now people today, they are believing that once you are born again, you already got the Holy Spirit, so let's go and do the ministry. The word of God is saying, first, when you got saved, you got born again, get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you start your ministry. Not just like you got saved and just go and do ministry, and without the power of God, you will fail. Some people are saying, Jesus Christ gave the power to his disciples and gave the authority, cast the demons out, heal the diseases. That promise is still for today. Many people are thinking the miracles are over. We cannot pray for sick people. Nothing will happen. The word of God says, Book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8. What is saying? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means our Jesus Christ is alive. Book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus Christ says, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. From that we know the miracles are not over. Jesus Christ is not dead and gone. He is still alive. But not only that, he has given us the same promise and same power to each and every believer that you can do greater things than Jesus did. Go to St. John chapter 14 and verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now this commandment also was given to the disciples, just like he said, do not leave the city, Jerusalem, until you fill with the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. Whatever the miracles I did, you will do also, and you will do greater miracles than I did. And many people get offended on this scripture. They said, how can we do greater things than Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God. But Jesus knew what he was saying. Jesus lived in Judea and Jerusalem in that area, and he never went to any other countries. Today, we have planes, trains, jet planes. Jesus just traveled on donkey. We are doing much more than that. Not only that, Peter's shadow were falling on people and people got healed. Paul sent the handkerchiefs and people got healed. And so Jesus Christ didn't send handkerchief. Jesus Christ's shadow didn't heal anybody. So what Jesus Christ saying, whatever miracle I did, you will do also, and you will do greater miracles. So God has given us the power. Here he says he has given us power and authority. Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 9. I think we read it up to 4, but you can read from 4, 5, and...
And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
When Jesus Christ said, go to somebody's house and stay there. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, please read.
And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence.
You cannot just knock somebody's door and say, I'm coming here, I'm going to stay in your house because I'm traveling in this country. No, you look around. When I came to Gujarat one time, and I was in one town, and when I was in that town, somebody says, you know, there is a postmaster, and he's a very good man. He loves all the evangelists, and he will love to have you. So I went to his house, and this man says, oh, come and stay with us and preach the gospel, and we love to have evangelists coming to my house. And I was praying in his house, and I was speaking in tongue and praising God, and his wife comes. Pastor Peter, what you doing? I said, I'm talking to God. She said, same thing. God gave it to me, and I was sitting in one church, and those people kicked me out. And they said, don't speak in tongue in our church. I said, that's why God sent me to your house. And I gave them the message. I taught them about Holy Spirit. Both of them, they left the church. They joined with me in our ministry. And I ordained her husband in the ministry. And they worked with me in that state. So what the Word of God is saying, don't just go to somebody's house. Just look around and find out who is worthy. This couple were worthy. They were hungry and thirsty. They spent hundreds and thousands of dollars for my ministry when I was in there. And we were going so many cities and preaching the gospels. And these people were always with me wherever I went. And supported me with the finances and food and everything. So the Word of God is saying, you go and find out the worthy house. And then stay there. Don't go to one house, to another house, to another house, because people will be confused. One time, I went to one city. One lady told me, my mother is sick, and go and pray for her. And so when I went to that city, while I was going in the horse buggy, the man is saying, what are you going to do in this town? I said, I'm going to have a healing service and prayer meetings and things like that. He said, don't do anything like that in this country. I said, why not? Because two American missionary came and we beat them up and we threw them in the river. And so they will kill you too. So I said, sir, I'm not afraid to die. And now we got that bad news and he drops me to that house. And when the lady opened the house, she had four or five little children, and her husband is not home. I said, sister, I came here to pray for the old lady. She said, that lady, my husband, took it to where you were. And I was almost like a one-day journey. They took her to that place. I said, but I came here, and now your husband is not home, so he will be coming home because the when the train goes. And now it's almost 10 o'clock. And this lady is having children like 10 years, 5 years, 7 years, something like that. I said, wake them up. I said, oh, they are sleeping. I said, but sister, I cannot sit with you alone in the midnight and your husband comes and beat me up. So I woke them, all the children, and start telling them the Bible story. Here comes the husband. And these people were very poor. Now the Bible says, find the worthy house and stay in that house until you finish your ministry. And so now this house, I don't know, this was worthy to keep me there. And that night, very cold night, early in the morning, somebody came knocking at the door. I opened the door and the man says, is there any minister in this house? I thought maybe that horse buggy man told me, the people are killing here for Christians. So I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, we are Christian, Pentecostal, full gospel people, and we want you to come to our church and preach. Now, these people were not full gospel where I came to their house. So that morning, when that man came, I asked the permission from these people, is it okay to go to those people's place and stay? They said, go ahead, because we cannot accommodate you anyhow. When I went there, those people were having their own church. They were rich, big bungalow, and they gave me room and everything and kept me until I left that town. So the point I'm making, it's not like you go knock on somebody's house and they open the door and stay there, they like it or not. You have to search the place, and Spirit of God will tell you the right place to go and preach. The Word of God says when you go, and some people will not allow you to come, even the town, shake the dust and move on. When I was reading this and studying this, shaking the dust brings the judgment to that family, a judgment to that city. There's one place I went and the man says, don't come to my town, get out of my town. I felt like putting the dust and getting out. But I told the man, I'm not putting the dust here. Even the Bible says, I'm giving you one more chance. And I walked away. But God did miracle. It's a long story. I'm going to cut short. The whole family came to the Lord, and some of his children, even I baptized. So the point I'm making, sometimes God tells you to do certain things, but God gives you wisdom to use it for the right time. If somebody really didn't want to listen and you shake the dust, the judgment will come on that place. Now the subject is changing. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 7.
Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him.
Now see here, Herod is the king. Now this Herod killed the John the Baptist. And now somebody says, do you know that John the Baptist came to life now? And so he was confused. He thought Jesus Christ is the John the Baptist, which I killed. So he sent some people and says, Jesus, the king is calling you. He wants to see you. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm so honored. King is calling me. Let me go and see him. Jesus didn't go. Even the king wanted to see Jesus. Jesus didn't go. So sometimes you have to think, some people try to give you honor and try to mesmerize you that they love you, but they really do not love you. They hate you. Jesus knew it and did not take that offer, but he did something else. Let's read the verse 10.
And the disciples, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida.
When the disciple came back, they start telling Jesus what they did. All 12 disciples gathered together, and now they're coming back to Jesus Christ. Here the king is inviting Jesus to meet him, and here the disciples coming and giving the story to Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ has to decide, go with the disciples or go to just king's palace. So he decided to go to desert place. There is no king's palace, but the desert place he chose. Why? Because he wanted to minister to his disciples, because they will be telling their story, and he will be giving them more teaching and tell them how to do the ministry properly. And now here he goes in the desert place and with the disciples. And disciples might be tired, weary, hungry, and they might be all tired and hungry. And they're going in a desert place where there is no food, where there is no the water or river or anything, going to desert place. But they wanted to be alone with God and his disciples. And when they were there, somehow people came to know where is Jesus and his disciples. So the people start coming to them. See, when you have the power of God, you have the God's message, doesn't matter where you are, people will come. You don't have to worry. People are really hungry and thirsty. They don't care about traveling. They don't care about money or food. They will go wherever they can be blessed. And that's what we see, how the people came to see Jesus. Let's go back to start reading from verse 11 and 12.
And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place.
Here comes the crowd, and they're listening to Jesus Christ, and the word of God says he preached them to kingdom of God, and he healed them, the people who needed healing. That means some people came for healing, and some people came to hear the word of God. And so when they stayed there listen to the word of God, and when they finished, now it's in evening time, getting dark. So Jesus Christ is saying, you know, we should feed these people. Let's go to the book of John. Here is Luke doesn't give whole story. Go to the book of John chapter 6 and start reading from verse 1.
After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat?
Now here, Jesus is talking to one of his disciples, Philip. Luke doesn't say that. So he talked to one of his disciples, Philip, and he said, you know, we need food for these people.
And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do.
Now, here is very clear. Even though he talked to Philip, now somebody would say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He can do miracle. Why he has to tell his disciples to get the food? But here he's saying, Jesus knew what he was going to do because he is the Son of God. He can do anything. The word of God says in St. John chapter 1, he says he is the God. Not only that, he is the creator. So he can do anything, but he wants you and me to know the power of God and how the power of God can work through us. We are the instrument. We are the vessels of God. God wants us to be used. So see what happens now. Let's read further. Philip, when he got the message, he didn't know what to do. He goes and tells somebody else.
Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?
Then he goes to the Andrew. Andrew comes and says, Hey, listen. I found out, I was searching if anybody has a food. So he found one young little boy, and he says, I found the boy, and he has 5 loaves of barley, and he has 2 small fishes. And so now this is the lunch of the one young boy. Or maybe he was carrying the food for his father or somebody. So he was also listening to Jesus Christ. So they found out if there is somebody has food. And some people will say, God can do miracle. He can take the stone and make a bread. You remember that devil came to him? He said, take the stone and make a bread. There was nothing impossible for Jesus Christ to take a stone and make a bread. But he could not take the devil's idea and listen to him and do it. That's the time Jesus says, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes out of the mouth of God, man can live.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.